broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio inside the Gas South Convention Center in Duluth, Georgia. It's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts.
Greetings and salutations, loyal listeners of Gwinnett Business Radio. We are broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios inside the beautiful Gas South District Convention Center. I am your slightly annoying host, Stephen Julian. We have two great guests. Ross Davis is here from Ergo Prevent, and Anya Thane is here from Integracom. But before we get to our guests, I have to introduce Eric Stratton. No, Harper LaBelle, my trusty co-host.
No one knows what that means.
No one knows. It's an inside joke, and I just brought it to life.
Eric Stratton, Russ Chairman.
Yeah, and we won't.
I'm really glad to meet you.
And
what
and
a great day today!
It is.
We have great guests, but it's a short sleeve weather day.
Yes, it is.
Which means I'm going to mow the lawn. I'm probably have to take four showers today.
Thanks for sharing.
In the middle of the summer,
I have no notes. I have no. Thank you for that. That's all I can say.
Well,
Thank you.
Let's put it that way. I'm a pitter. Well, we need someone to help me with that condition, and
yes.
I think Ross might be the first.
Yes.
Guy
well,
we want to
as
talk
you're
to.
Mowing the lawn, I know you'll check your posture and check ergonomics and stuff like that. So we're going to talk.
I check my posture. I go, man, my hip is out, and I'm
and I need
the grass.
A shower.
I'm cutting the grass with a bunch of jagged edges.
All right, so Ross immediately, as the guest of the show, has to save us, but I think he can do it. Ross Davis is here. He is the owner of Ergo Prevent. Their website is ergoprevent.com. Ross, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much. And yes, I do stop before we get to the shower situation with patients. Okay,
yeah.
That's on your own.
That's where you stop.
I stop before that. So you're on your own as far as how many showers you take. I'll help you with your posture and your strength and flexibility, but get to shower so you're on your own, buddy.
Ross, usually we ask the first question of, hey, tell us about your business. There are so many times on this show, and this is not a knock on any of our guests, but when they give their company name, you know exactly what they do. But Ergo Prevent, I was like, I can't wait for Ross to tell me what Ergo Prevent is because, yeah, I looked at the website, but it's a great name that makes people go, well, tell me more about that because I know Ergo's in there, and I think that's short for ergonomics, but
Correct. Tell
us what the company is. And what
well, it's all based on preventing injuries. With companies, and we specialize in manufacturing, warehouse distribution is where our sweet spot is. But we go in and we analyze the work people do. Ergonomics is the study of how somebody does their job. And so we go in and we have different programs that can be implemented depending on what the company needs. It's all part of the assessment is figuring out what the company needs, and then we evaluate that and give them what they need to prevent those injuries from happening.
Give a very specific example that is also an example that can be repeated hundreds of times across the county, the state, the country. Because I think a lot of people hear Ergo and go, oh, he does chairs. You know, no,
right.
It's a lot of in the manufacturing space and in the warehouse space. So give some specific examples of what you guys have been able to do.
Yeah, probably the most common one is just in lifting. You can go in and we take it a step further than most companies do. Most companies go in and say, okay, we're going to look at the job itself and we're going to evaluate and find out where the risks are within that job. We look at the job. Yes, we do that, evaluate the risk, but we also take the individual. And we can do a video assessment of that individual of where their weaknesses and mobility issues are. And so we attack it from both sides. But in the case of lifting, you have poor posture. And because the reason they have poor posture is probably because of loss of flexibility or loss of strength. And so that's how you address that prevent part of the ergonomics. But also what we do is if you have someone who is in a position, which is very common, that is very stressful, high repetition, things like that, that it's really too much for anybody to do, and a lot of warehouses and distribution centers get in that position. There are exoskeletons that you can do and exosuits that can assist them in lifting and things like that. No, it's not the exoskeleton like you saw in Alien. I don't know if
I was thinking
anybody knows.
I was thinking Iron Man. Yeah.
Well, that would be cool, but that's not realistic.
Yeah.
Iron Man's all fluff. They're headed that way. Exosuits and exoskeletons are headed that way, but they're not there yet. But it's more of just an assistive device like a rubber band on your back to help you in maintaining posture and helping you lift that. So that's the more common thing that we see and we can do a lot of work with is just in the lifting part of it, in education and then different.
I think, Ross, of lifting and warehouses, and I see a three-story stack of material on YouTube, and next thing, the guy in the forklift, and before you know it, you're just waiting for it to fall. It does, and it's one of those moments. Mm. Can you help prevent those things from happening?
No, those are training videos, though.
Yeah. User
those,
error.
Those are the ones where you say, okay, forklift safety, do you have the license to operate the forklift?
Yeah, well, the safety is a good thing. You got a cage to cover and protect
right.
you from all the falling Coca-Cola cans that
right.
land on top of everybody.
Yeah. Hopefully that's not an ergonomic issue, but a safety issue more so.
Okay. You know. When did you get involved? I've known you for quite a while now, mm-hmm. 20 years, and 21, I think.
Yeah.
We started working together in 04, 06, something like that.
Yeah.
And Stop it.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to start crying. I'm going to get a tear in my eye.
That would be great.
And my mother loved that song, too, Barbara Streisand. And,
I didn't mean to distract you.
A Star is Born. That was mid-70s.
Providing.
No, no, no. Yeah.
Bring him back.
It's Squirrel.
That's right, Squirrel.
He shouldn't do that.
It's true.
But you were involved with safety, with preventative mm-hmm. injuries, mm-hmm. High school level kids. You know, that was a part of on the radio that mm-hmm. you would talk about that all the time. So this has been a passion of your life. Mm-hmm. When did that begin?
Oh, wow. Back in high school, college. Getting into the athletic training, which is basically preventing injuries with athletes and active population, it started then. And working in different settings, Harper's played a little bit of ball, but working with NFL teams and then college teams, high school, and doing international travel, international teams, Olympics, that's what I've done, all of that. But it's always brought me back to preventing injuries, no matter what, and getting to recover from those injuries. Back when we started ProTherapy, physical therapy company up around the Gainesville area, that's when I got in with companies and started seeing that passion for the everyday person, not just athletes, just people that are physically demanding jobs every day, which is as stressful or more stressful than what these athletes do sometimes. And so when you see that and you realize that these people are experiencing the exact same type of things athletes do, we're applying the things that the professional athletes do as far as recovery, prevention, treatment, rehab, all that. We take that into the company. And when we go into a company, I approach it like a team. I go in, get to know those people, what's going on in their lives, because the whole mental aspect of at work and outside of work play a factor into what they're doing at work and their injuries at work. And so
which
I just
can ruin
in.
Their personal life.
I
don't mean that in a bad way.
No.
My back hurts, so I can't work as much as I want to. Then I can't play with the kids when I get home.
That's right.
Now I'm grumpy when I go back to work the next day, so you're helping. Let's fix your back.
So
right?
my philosophy is I tell people every day, I say, my goal is to let you go home and do what you want to do, not what you can do.
Hmm.
That's a big difference. After a long day at work, what you can do physically because you're so worn out, I don't want that to be the limiting factor. I want the limiting factor to be, do you want to do it or not? Not can you do it?
And so I started by asking a specific example, and we talked about exoskeleton and things mm-hmm. to assist with lifting and things like that. But this is also movement. This is also, there's a lot of just staying healthy, staying limber, that kind of stuff. There's some physical therapy almost.
Right. We look at the whole body. We take the whole wellness and health and wellness aspect to this is looking at the person. And there's a huge mental aspect to it. Your mental state affects your physical state, and physical state affects mental state. We've known that for a long time. We've neglected the mental state. A big thing I talk to is recovery, is the ability to recover from one day to the next. You know, athletes spend millions of dollars a year on recovery, but what do common people do? We don't spend that kind of money. We just go home and do what we have to do and get up the next morning and go to work. There are things you can do at home to help recover to get ready for the next day.
Is that one of the biggest factors that you think is being overlooked currently in a healthy lifestyle, especially among workers? And if not, what are some of the other factors?
I think that's probably the main thing, is that recovery. And sleep is a major, major part of that. Most underrated part of your life is sleep. I don't think people put enough emphasis on that. That by itself, so much happens when you sleep, and I want to get on my soapbox because I've got one about sleep. The things that
you'll
happen.
You'll put me to sleep if you do that.
Well,
go
no,
ahead.
I think you would be very interested in what I would say because the things that,
that
happen.
Was
yeah,
that
I
was
know.
Easy. I had to take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you did. And so, but the things that happen while you sleep, people don't realize when you don't get good sleep, it affects your long-term health.
See, I'm chasing squirrels when I sleep.
See, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And then I wake up. You chase squirrels in your sleep?
Oh,
or you sleepwalk?
Because I'm
and
easily
chase
distracted
squirrels.
By
yeah,
squirrels,
exactly.
And I see them all over the place. But sleep, how about diet and exercise? It's easy for someone to say, yeah, doc, I'll do that. Well, you need to lose a couple of pounds, but they don't do it, right? Their diet is horrible, and that can also contribute to the lack of recovery, right?
Right.
Yeah, I opened his eyes there with that a little bit. Yeah,
well,
I'm in his wheelhouse right now.
Well,
I get it.
The whole diet and recovery, it's what you eat, yes. How much you eat, there's a lot. The whole another half hour talk about that.
Is that a different soapbox that you step on?
Yeah, I got a lot of soapboxes I'm getting off. You know that, Harper. I mean, I don't chase squirrels like you, but I do chase soapboxes. But yeah. But that's a part of the recovery. When you eat, how much you eat. Our lifestyle, the lifestyle in the United States of our work pattern in a day does not fit what a healthy lifestyle is. It really doesn't. Hmm. The amount of sleep you need to sleep, when you need to eat, and everything like that. You should eat when the sun's out. You should sleep when it's dark. Okay? Don't eat when it gets dark. There's a whole lot of different aspects to the whole recovery of how you can improve your sleep, the quality and quantity of your sleep, mm-hmm. of routines, you know, screens. I can't talk enough about blue light and the screens. If you're on a screen right before you go to bed, it affects how much deep sleep you get, things like that. So we hit all of that when we talk to employees. It's that total body type thing. And it all comes from the assessment that we do with companies of surveys and physical assessments and things like that to determine what are the areas we need to focus on with the different companies.
If a company were to engage you, walk us through the process. I'm sure it changes. I'm sure there's a lot of things, but can you give us a basic process?
Oh, yeah. So we talk to companies, say, okay, first of all, what's your OSHA log look like? Mm. What are your injuries? Okay. If it's high, you'll be able to identify the areas in which we need to focus on first, okay? If it's just average or low, then we say, okay, let's look at your total population, and let's get a resiliency score. We have a video analysis. It's a functional movement assessment that we do on every employee, quick, 7 different movements, and we get a resiliency score on every individual and then globally for the entire company. That gives us where we need to focus. Take that and the surveys on mental health and diet and exercise and all those things, you get a picture of the health of your company. And that gives you a picture of, one, what your absenteeism is going to be like and what we call presenteeism. Presenteeism is the difference between 100% and where you are. How many people really show up to work at 100%? Very few, if any. And so that difference is what the company's not getting. If we can improve that presenteeism, what does that turn into? Improve productivity.
Many years ago, I believe it was General Motors, they changed the light bulbs.
Yeah.
There were several light bulbs that were out.
Mm-hmm.
They re-illuminated, and work production went up 16% the following month.
Of course.
Something as simple as that, right?
Yes, it can. And through all of the surveys, you get some of those things that the employer doesn't understand how much it affects the employee and the productivity of that plant.
Mm-hmm.
Just simple little things of, you know, does a supervisor walk on the floor? You know, that's not ergonomics or injury prevention, but we find those types of things in our surveys that help the culture of the company. We try to go in and change the culture of the company from the top down to get down to where you get as healthy of an employee base that you can.
Now, I was with a company years ago that did my body mass. It was real simple. Mm-hmm. It was basically so that they could figure out what the insurance rates were going to be for the upcoming medical coverage that they were going to provide. I'm 6'4", I weighed 252, I believe, and I was in the obese range.
Yes, you were.
And so, yeah, I know. And there's another guy that thank you. Yeah, he confirms it. And there's another guy that was working, he's like 8% body fat, and he was borderline obese, and he's one of those guys that worked out all the time. It was based on a structural chart that should have been updated. Here's my reason for saying this. I tended to say, this is garbage. This information isn't very good. Yeah, I could probably lose 10 pounds, but I'm not morbidly obese because the chart says I am. In other words, it went by weight more than anything else. So how reliable is the newer information? You just mentioned the blue light, for example. Mm-hmm. From a technology standpoint, things are changing all the time because our social patterns are changing. Right?
Right?
We eat later, we get up earlier, we don't sleep right, except we watch a YouTube video or something on our iPad. Mm-hmm. How has that affected the information that you are able to provide to some of the companies?
Those charts are old. Pediatricians still use them today.
Yeah.
After about a year old, they're obsolete, like you said, because it's different types of body types. You know, you're more mesomorphic, and so more muscular, and so you're going to be heavier.
Put that on your business card.
That's right. You're a mesomorph.
That's a bad exoskeleton. Mesomorphic means that I'm the bad guy.
You go to Dragon Con, and everybody would go, "Oh, he's a mesomorph."
Yeah, that's right. That's okay. So,
see, it's okay.
We don't those charts. I don't know that insurance companies, they have to go by something, and that's still the medical community has not updated those things for whatever reason. And so you still get those people who are diagnosed morbidly obese, and I look at them and I go, you work out 4 days a week and, you know, you got 8% body fat, like you said. Yeah. Okay. You just ignore that part of it. And you have to be realistic. That's why we approach it from an individual basis. Mm-hmm. And we look at each individual. Getting down to, like, insurance companies used to do that. I don't know very many insurance companies that go that in depth anymore. It's more of just insure them, look at the history, and go from there.
A blanket coverage policy that they make based on, gosh, nobody has cancer, so we can at least lower the rates a little bit. And maybe one person or two do, so or are recovering from something like that. So, and the rate has changed because of that.
Right. So our whole program affects that, both the health benefits, personal health, and the workers' comp insurance. It'll affect both of those, because if we bring the health, bring a more healthier workforce, and it decreases your personal illnesses and your workplace injuries and illnesses.
And I think
both come down.
Another critical component is Bob's always complaining about his back hurts. And if I can get Bob to stop whining about that, I'd feel a lot better. This is a manager speaking. And your job is to say, hey, Bob, let me help you loosen up your hamstrings and your glutes, and you're going to feel a heck of a lot better.
Exactly. So what we preach too is early symptom intervention. As soon as you feel it, tell us. A lot of companies, the culture doesn't feed that. The culture feeds it, don't say anything, suck it up.
Yeah.
And so we try to go in and change the culture. It's good. Reward them for coming and saying, hey, my back's sore today. Okay, come over here. Let's do this. You need to do this. Check in with me tomorrow. It's gone. Okay? So you reward those kind of things instead of tell them, oh, I don't want to hear about it. Just tell me when you can't work kind of thing.
So I was going to ask, Ross Davis is here with Ergo Prevent, and it sounds like a lot of what you work with are some of the larger companies. Is there a company that's too small? Where's the sweet spot?
So my sweet spot is 100 employees to 500 employees. Okay. That's for me. You get bigger than that, they end up being regional, national, international.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I can service those.
You can connect them.
I have a network of athletic trainers and other physiologists out there that I can plug in at different plants and locations. That's a long process, but we can do that. I like to stick more Southeast regional is where we can really service. But 100 to 500 in manufacturing, warehouse, distribution, that's our sweet spot right there.
Also, this is not a one day and I'm gone situation.
Oh, no.
This is hopefully a yearly, decade, maybe even longer than that, relationship that you're building. Correct?
I want to become part of the company.
Okay.
We need to embed that in the culture that we're there to help the employee stay healthy, no matter what. It's not based on just when you work. We only care about you from 8 to 5. No, we care about you 24/7, and that's what we're there to help with.
Well, Steven has problems because he likes to run around the bases after Striper games,
mm-hmm.
and they have to send him home. Go, let the kids go.
Okay.
And he kicks the kids out
of the way. Wait a minute.
So we got to work with him,
too. I body
too.
Check him.
Yeah.
Here's the key. I commend him for exercising.
Yeah. Right.
Finding a way to exercise. That's hard to do. Most employees find ways not to exercise. He's finding a way to exercise and making it fun.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, Harper, don't tell me you wouldn't want to run those bases and bump those kids off the bases. I know you. You're a football player. You would not just bump them.
A hockey player in me would like to body check them.
Body check them.
But I also am a parent, and I have to realize that, you know, they're going to bump me a little bit.
Well, that's true, too. Oh, yeah, okay. Some of those kids, those tiny fists, man, they hurt.
And the little kids can hit you in spots that you're not wanting to get hit.
That's right.
Ross, I want to commend you because health and wellness is a massive buzzword, but it's being used for so many different things, and I think in your case, I like the idea of you're a health and wellness expert for hire to be, you know, you're part of the C-level executive, but not, you know, you want to join the company but not be an employee of the company, but help the employees of the company and. So
yeah, the size companies we work with don't have the budget or the FTEs to put a full-time position or take away from safety or HR to do this kind of thing. So we go and fill that void for them and help the safety and help the HR people in what their responsibilities
are. And so much of health and wellness has been for a long time. Don't tell anybody. They'll take me off the job.
That's right.
Let's sweep it under the rug and, you know, suck it up and deal with it. But it's like, no, a healthy employee is a happy employee. A happy employee is a more productive employee. And it's more than just changing out light bulbs, although that's a great story at GE or GM. But also, you know, again, longer life, longer lifespan, longer
workspan. Exactly.
So an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of whatever,
cure.
Flesh?
Profit.
Profit?
And cure.
Yeah, well, yeah. So basically, I'm not saying that this is part of your marketing, but if a company is saying, where do I invest into my company? Because there is a cost. This isn't free.
Right.
And in many respects, you're keeping them. The other health charges that might be a part of doing business, your job is to lower those costs.
Right. Return on investment is for every dollar spent, anywhere from $6 to $9 saved is what we found with our programs.
That's good. That math works. Ross, what I love is you've made believers out of Harper and I, because we started by asking questions. By the end, we're going, hey, that's really good. Hey, you know, I really like this. Hey, that's an interesting point. You know, so you've won us over. Now it's time to win everybody else over, and all they need to do is get in touch with you. How do people start working with you?
They can go to my website, ergoprevent.com, and fill out the contact form, or you can give me a call at 770-540-7441.
Ergo, spell it.
E-R-G-O.
E-R-G-O.
P-R-E-V-E-N-T. Ergo Prevent.
Just like Jason Squirrels. It's
that's
easy.
Exactly. No dashes, no dots, no underscores. Ergo Prevent.
How'd you come up with the name?
Prevent
injuries. Prevent injuries and ergonomics.
Yeah.
I understand that, but I mean, was there an epiphany that you had?
No, the epiphany was you go searching for names, and that's what was left.
That's a good businessman right there.
Fair enough, yeah.
Ross Davis, Ergo Prevent. Thank you so much for coming in. It was a lot of fun talking about ergonomics and health and prevention, which I wasn't expecting today. So okay. You wowed me.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Harper, before we get to our next guest, we've got to talk about cats.
I like squirrels instead. Tell me about cats.
Cats chase squirrels just like you do.
Yeah.
Are you a cat person?
More of a dog person.
Okay, but that's okay because...
But if you have a cat, it better chase squirrels.
That's
right. Telling you. Otherwise, it's not a cat.
Business Radio X is proud, and Gwinnett Business Radio is proud to be involved yet again this year with the 5th Annual Cat Rangers Charity Golf Tournament, June 10th, 2025. Harper, you have participated in this
tournament.
I've been
in two. Yeah. They didn't invite me for the others. They made the mistake of inviting me. And I tore up Lake Lanier Islands.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It's lots of divots.
It's at Lanier Islands Legacy Golf Course.
Yes, it is.
Good event, right?
Oh, it's a great place to play golf. Dan Bouchard was there. Buddy Curry has been there. Some guests that we've had here on the show. The cause in and of itself is worthwhile. There's some shelters that need some financial assistance, so you'd be helping with that. You get a great day of golf. What else could you ask for?
If you're not a cat person, but you are a golf person, you can be involved in this. If you are a cat person and not a golf person, you can be involved in this. If you care about cats, there's a lot
and
of
And you care about golf. Is there another scenario that you can, what if you don't like cats and don't like golf?
All I know is that the Cat Rangers are the special forces of cat rescue, and they put on the Cat Rangers Charity Golf Tournament, June 10th.
Speaking of where would we go for Ross's information, where would I go to learn more about the Cat Ranger Golf Tournament?
I don't know. Where would you go?
Would you go to...
CatRangersGolf.com.
I think that's where you would
go.
You
can sponsor, you can donate, you can play.
They have a QR code, but I can't read that on the phone.
I can't scan it while we're on the air. Yeah. I do know that if you go to the Cat Rangers Golf Tournament, Business Radio X will be broadcasting live.
Mike, how many times have you been there? Mike, turn your microphone on.
Oh, Mike's going to get on the show. You got him on the show. How many times, Mike?
I think this... How many tournaments have there been?
Five.
Probably five.
Oh, this is the... So you've been to four.
So he's uncertain.
Because you haven't been to this one yet, because it's June 10th.
Yeah, ask me after June 10th, and the answer will be five.
The answer will be five. And Harper, will you be broadcasting with Mike, or will you be playing?
I'm playing golf.
I like it.
Mike watches me go by him, and I go, hey, you need a sandwich or anything? He goes, no, I'm good.
The question is whether I will be there, or... Well, anyway.
Dan was there last year.
That's
I remember
right.
Dan there, and Amanda's been there.
Yep.
Well, how come you haven't been?
I think I've been. I've been to some of the golf
tournaments. You think you've been? You either know or you don't
We've
know.
Been doing this for... Mike and I have been doing this for 12 years. I've been to a lot of remotes. So,
but you don't even know if this one was...
Yeah, I can't remember the last three golf tournaments.
13 years.
Yeah. You know? Okay, sorry. Ooh, man,
11, 13? All
right.
You're just making numbers
so
up as you are.
So go to catrangersgolf.com and chase squirrels like Harper and play golf. All right, it is time for me to pivot.
I'd rather have Anya come on and tell us something that she knows rather than what you think.
Absolutely. We are thrilled to welcome Anya Thane, and we are so happy that she's going to help us get out of that... long conversation that was great at the beginning and then started going nowhere. So we're going to get back on track. Anya Thane is here. She is the operations manager with IntegraCom here in Gwinnett County. Anya, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. So glad to be back.
Absolutely. IntegraCom, for those people who don't know what it is, and again, a great name that is a great name, but doesn't exactly tell me exactly what you do. So go ahead and tell us what IntegraCom does.
Absolutely. So we are a managed IT services provider. We've been in business since 2000, so many years of experience, many years of seeing things adjust in IT. But basically, we help out small to medium-sized businesses with their IT needs, whether it's something small, they need something part-time, or they need a full staff. we can help them out. So helping them manage it, plan long-term, making sure it matches with their business goals, all that kind of good stuff.
I am going to ask you a question that is going to sound like I'm being almost a little mean, and I don't mean it that way at all. I don't mean to be mean. IT is something that when a typical business owner, especially one that's been in business for a while, hears, they might roll their eyes and they might make a sound something similar to, because everyone knows they need it and everyone knows they have to have it. And it's also one of those sectors that people would go, I've had at least one bad experience
Absolutely.
In IT. How does Integracom help that business owner not sigh or grunt as much and go, listen, it's different with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have what we consider three uniques. So obviously there are many IT services provider nationwide. Everywhere you turn, there's a new one, it feels like. But we have three things that we feel like make Integracom unique. So we consider ourselves deep security experts, very much involved in security because it's so much to learn. It's changing all the time. So our staff is taking that time to learn the latest thing. So you as a business owner do not have to deal with that. Obviously, if your specialty is the radio, you don't care what's the latest and greatest on AI. You don't really want to learn about it. So our team will kind of take that on. We also do quick and consistent response. So obviously, when you are down, it's very important to get back up. If so, you call in, you can't do anything. They're like, oh, we'll get back to you tomorrow. That really, really hurts and can create those bad experiences. And the third thing is friendly and loyal relationships. We really value our clients. We feel like it is a long-term relationship, and it's not just a business transaction. There is a lot of opportunity there to work with them. So
in talking about the relationships, I do think that's one thing that can be a vast difference between other experiences with other IT companies, because I think one of the things of frustration is I have IT. I have no idea what they're doing. I have no idea how they're helping. They're just in the background, and I only hear from them when I'm down and I call them. What are some of the proactive things? What are some of the, can you give some examples of how Integracom has gone? Look, we're here. We're talking to you when it's not just an emergency.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good point. So all of our clients, we meet with them, typically depending on their size, we adjust it to their needs about once a quarter. Mm-hmm. So we sit down, meet with them, talk about their business, what's their business goals for the next quarter, what's their budget looking like, what's maybe some problems they're experiencing the day-to-day that maybe we can help come up with a solution for. So definitely that one-on-one connection, like you said, not only just talking when something is down, is crucial. Because I also feel like IT over the past 10, 15 years is shifting. IT used to be like, oh, my computer's down, let me call my IT guy. I do find as things are progressing, it's more of proactive work, like you mentioned. So no longer is it my computer down. It's more of, hey, every night at midnight, we're patching. We're making sure all updates are run. If a patch comes out that causes issues, we stop it so that you never even have that outage in the first place. So we actually have a whole entire proactive services team right now that is their whole job, day in, day out. Listen to what the clients are frustrated with, come up with a long-term solution, and then also working on preventing issues from ever appearing.
My question is the changing world of cybersecurity. I know that if I owned a bank, my threat would be someone wants to come in with a shotgun and take the money. If I owned a convenience store, same thing, take the money. Where is the money that people are chasing? Where are the bad guys? Mm-hmm. What do they do? Are they after accounts? Are they after your account payable transactions? What are they looking for, and how do you help against that type of a protection need that every company has to have?
Yes, absolutely. So I would say most recently, the thing that everyone is after the most is your emails. So they will try to get into your email account in any way they can. This has become such a big issue. We spent a lot of time researching and came up with a security package add-on for clients that need it. We change it every year. That's how often the IT landscape changes with security. We can't just be like, oh, we're going to use these three programs and that will last for 10 years. Like, no, we have to revisit it every year. Because the emails, they're always wanting to get into the emails. And when they do get into your emails, they sit there.
Anya, I know that there's a gentleman in Egypt that has $15 million just waiting for me. All I need to do is get a hold of him.
Yeah.
No, you have to send him some money to free up the $15.
Oh, is that what I needed to do?
That's
what
he told me. Send him money so he can send it to you.
Yeah, so you see through all the scams, don't you? I mean, come on. But a lot of folks may not.
And they're getting better.
There was a commercial where the lady clicks on it, and then everybody's office computer has the same virus, and it's the want to get away commercial. I don't know if you remember seeing anything like that. She's too young. She can't remember any of these old commercials. However, how do you, you mentioned the first steps and all that kind of stuff. Is there a point where it's too late for the company? Go, we just got attacked. Is that too late? Or is that the right time that you would want to say, we're here to help?
Absolutely not. At that point, you're looking at double the work, double the cost, maybe even triple. It's very important to do these things before that ever happens. It will reduce your cost.
But if it hasn't happened, it's not going to happen. I know it. I can guarantee it, right?
I can tell you based on experience, if it hasn't happened yet, it will happen.
It's going to.
A new staff member who is trying their best will see an email like, oh, the boss wants me to do something. It's my first day. I got to do it for them. They click on that link. Boom. They're in your email account and you're having to spend a fortune to get them out.
I would imagine most businesses that you start a relationship with, they already have some kind of IT support,
mm-hmm.
Unless they're a brand new business. What is the engagement process like? What is the transition process? What can someone expect? I'm assuming there's an initial consultation, but does it take 5 initial consultations? Kind of walk us through the process.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we first start working with someone about possibly a long-term engagement, we do a first initial meeting just to get an idea of what their frustrations are with their current setup, kind of what they're looking for. Then we usually go on site because it's really hard to figure out if you're remote, it's different. But if you have an office, we really like to see it, get a good idea of what's going on, make sure we price it appropriately. And then after that, we have a third meeting with the price. So the way our contracts work, we actually feel like it's important to earn your business every month. All of our service contracts, you can leave at any point with a 60-day notice. So if you feel like you're not getting the right service, we do not want you to feel locked in for multiple years. I know many IT companies do charge a huge fee if you leave early and lock you into many years of contracts, and it's a pain. So that's one thing that we do a little bit different. Because we let you leave at any point, and we want to make sure we onboard you properly so that we can, from day one, support you properly, we do usually charge a small onboarding fee. But yeah, as far as like what we're seeing a lot of companies come to us because they're a current IT company. They enjoy working with them, but they have no knowledge of security, or maybe they're in an industry that's starting to require a compliance and they are feeling lost in their IT companies. Like, I don't know. So I feel like that's a lot what we're seeing, kind of a shift. No longer just, hey, my printer's not working. It's now like, hey, I want to get this level of compliancy to work with this vendor. Can you help me?
Anya, do companies over budget generally for their computer and their IT needs? I mean, they just spend so much money that it's so easy for you, right?
Not usually.
Or is it the other way around? And yes, they go, gosh, you haven't spent anything on upgrading to Windows whatever and
yeah,
all the other things. So what's that experience been like for you on a personal level to be able to say, we're going to get you, it's not going to cost a lot, but you're going to have mm-hmm. to invest anyways. You knew you were going to have to. These, you know, Ross mentioned being obsolete,
yes,
in terms of some things. When the computers go obsolete, your job is to, let's get you up and running to where you need to be, the standard you've got to be at.
Well, I was gonna ask her. You were talking about email. I'm on Windows 96, and I have my Net Zero email account. Is it about time for me to upgrade?
Maybe.
Yeah, they've been telling me I should.
256K. I think that's
no. I'm on a 386.
Are you really?
Yeah. 1 meg of RAM, 40 meg hard drive.
Oh man, I can't imagine what video games you're playing.
Snake, DOS Snake. That's my
Pong.
That's my number one.
My game is Pong.
I don't have Minesweeper.
And she's laughing like, that. Yeah, I know. When you started, you were just a young girl, right?
Oh,
how would things change for you in just the terms of the technological advances?
I stole Harper's question. I apologize.
It's okay.
You're totally good. Yeah, absolutely. So I started about 11 years ago full time. Things have changed. It used to be more of like, hey, I need an antivirus on my computer. While that is still important, it's more of the cloud applications now. Mm-hmm. Whereas 10 years ago, people were like, the cloud, what's that? I have a server in my office. We do everything locally. Everyone's in the office. So mostly just seeing a huge shift to the cloud. But then when you move things to the cloud, you got to make sure you still back it up. You got to make sure you still secure it. You got to make sure if you have staff members working remotely or working hybrid that they are secure. If they're traveling around, again, making sure they're secure.
Is the cloud... And I'm not asking you to make any prediction because in the world of technology, who knows? But mm-hmm. is the cloud here to stay for a while? Because in technology, it's always like, well, I moved to this and now I have to move to this. And, you know, I had vinyl and then they made me do cassette tapes and then they said CDs are the way to go. And then they did MP3s and now everything's in the cloud. Mm-hmm. Is there a point or is there a stratosphere above the cloud? Hey, now we're going to the stratosphere. Forget the cloud. We're going to another one. Can you guys predict, or is it, no, it's there and that's going to be here for a while?
I feel like the cloud will be here for a while because usually the reason why people would make upgrades in the past is because their hardware was not able to support it. Well, there's no quote-unquote hardware in the cloud. There is, but you know what I mean? Like, you can adjust what is used in the cloud really quickly.
And we're not going to run out of space anytime soon in terms of the cloud. Okay, so then that leads to, as we're recording this in 2025, the big topic is AI.
Mm-hmm.
What are, as an IT services company, what are some of the advice that you're giving in this early stages of businesses starting to use AI? Because it doesn't matter, whatever the industry is, everybody's saying, if you're not using AI, you're going to get left behind. So what are you guys advising?
Absolutely. So my first piece of advice is, if you are a business owner or even work in a business and you're not sure about AI, hate to break it to you, your staff's already using it. So the first step is to make sure your staff is appropriately trained on what they should and shouldn't be using AI for. I think it even came on the news. I can't remember. Some pretty big company had staff members inputting their specialized code in a ChatGPT and wanted them to fix it. And so now their code is published online for everyone to access. And this is a multi-billion dollar company. So it's very important for the staff to know, like, hey, you can use AI, but use it with some awareness of anything you put in there that's company information. It's public information now.
That's the AI version of the Egyptian email that you're talking about that everybody kind of knows now is fake. But at the time, some people didn't. And now at the time, oh, yeah, I'll just put this on ChatGPT.
But that's only happened with one company, right, Anya? only one ever?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, it's going to be... you're there to protect.
Yes, and also to help them see what kind of options they have for the company to purchase, so the information stays in the company.
So as AI continues to evolve and grow, it's going to become more and more involved. But one of the main things at this point, at the very beginning, as a IT services company, is to tell whatever you're doing on AI, especially on open platforms, we can't help you. There is absolutely no security. That's what makes it an open platform, and that's what makes it good and bad at the same time.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
And is AI going to potentially go to more closed loops or more loops that I can control but still use it with some of my stuff?
Yes. Usually any big email provider or application, they're starting to offer their own AI. So I know Google Workspace has Gemini, Microsoft has Copilot, and they're evolving. Oh. And I think you can purchase a company level of ChatGPT.
I'll look into
mistaken.
What Net Zero is offering. Let me make a note of that. Put it on my Net Zero.
Z, or is it just an O? Or is it
no,
C-E-R-O.
It's Net Zero.
Yes, spell N-E-T-Z. It out.
Yeah, I got the CD-ROM at Kroger when I was checking out in 1996.
Anya, you've mentioned some of the things that are changing and all that. So I would imagine a great portion of your business is to know ahead of time that the genie's already out of the bottle, and I can help your company keep it from getting out of the bottle.
Yes.
Because we do things, certain steps that are a part of the process. That learning process takes some insight, some wisdom, right? But is there also just searching publicly for some of the problems and go, I can't believe that I'm reading this story, and taking advantage of that and then being able to offer that to your clients, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. So if you can take someone else's hindsight, that's fantastic. And don't have to go through the pain, and you're good to go. So...
And so what are the processes in terms of me and my business? I'm still doing widgets, or am I chasing squirrels? What am I doing, Steve?
You're doing widgets now.
Widgets, yeah. I own a widget company, and I need some help. But I don't even know all the help that I need. How do I get in touch with you so that you can say, let's look at the business, let's see what some of your problems are, and I can help you before they become problems?
Yes, absolutely. So you can reach us on our website. So that's integricom.net, IntegriCom, or you can give us a call, 678-507-0700. And all of our staff members.
And if you're not there, there's a friendly family member or some others. If someone is looking to be in that particular field, are you hiring? Are you looking for certain people? Tell us a little bit more about that aspect of the career that Integricom can supply for some of the folks that are out there.
Absolutely. So we are not hiring right now. Probably pick back up in the fall. We did a lot of hiring ahead last year. So we hired a lot of staff members, been working on training them, growing their skills. So we're feeling good about it. That's been exciting. So
depending on when someone is listening to this, they can certainly go to the website, check out any employment opportunities.
Correct.
But one of the things you wanted to talk about that is happening as we're recording this is Integricom is hosting Integricom L&L on June 11th of 2025. What on earth is this? Is this for just clients, or is this for visitors as well. Tell us about the event.
So we're having a IntegraCom Lunch and Learn. It's actually hosted at the Gwinnett Stripers. So if anyone's a baseball fan.
Wait a second, Steven.
I know.
Right there in your back alley.
Absolutely.
Your whole family.
Yeah. So it's at Cool Ray Field.
It's at Cool Ray Field. Okay. So it starts in the morning. We do some networking, many educational sessions. We have several experts from different industries flying in. A few of our internal staff members speaking. There'll be Q&As, and then we have lunch, and then we have a baseball game. So exciting day. But as far as who is a good fit, really anyone that owns a business, whether they're a client or a prospect or just want to know more about it or just want to connect with other local businesses, right now it is an open invite.
And is that information where we can register? Is that on the IntegraCom website?
Right now, it is actually on our LinkedIn and our Facebook and our Instagram. So all our social media platforms, it is currently posted. Should be top of the list with a registration link.
And you promise there will be no emails sent out asking for money or with scamming links or anything like that.
Correct.
It's all going to be clean and secure.
Correct.
So check out their social media, IntegraCom, IntegriCom. Find out more about the Lunch and Learn on June 11th, 2025. You can go, hear from industry experts, have lunch, and then the game is right after that. Mm-hmm. It's an afternoon game for the Stripers. So, wow, look at that.
I get to eat, watch baseball, and learn something that I didn't know?
That's like heaven for me. So I know what I'll be doing on that day. So IntegraCom.net, and the phone number is 678-507-0700.
Correct.
Anya Thane, operations manager from IntegraCom.net, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all the information. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you, guys.
I like it. So we've got, you can do the Cat Rangers golf tournament on June 10th. Then you can go on June 11th to the Lunch and Learn. I have no idea what you're doing on the 12th. We gave you 2 days.
Ross is going to make sure that I don't get hurt.
Yeah, Ross is going to then stretch you out and make sure, after the golf tournament and sitting for that great event. Yeah,
so that I can come back here to work and
then Thursday,
be closer
to
100% instead of the 51 that I'm here.
Yes.
And when I have to work with Mike.
Mike is playing a song to play us out that if you weren't in the studio ahead of the show, you have no idea. So I'll just shout out Benny and Bjork. And do you want to shout out Bjorn Bjork.
I just want to know
what
color the tuxedo was when Mike went to the prom.
Lime
with
green.
White shoes
lime
and
green.
Was it light lime green?
Green.
I was thinking kind of the light blue.
Baby blue, yeah. Oh yeah.
Or
and
with
the big
brown.
Ruffles. The big ruffles.
Did he have the little stash going thing in the day?
I do want to say as we're recording this, I want to say happy birthday to Mike. And I want to thank him for being a great producer. We miss Dan. And happy birthday to my wife who came to the studio. So love you, babe. All right. Want to thank our guests, Ross Davis.
Love you too, Steve.
Thanks, Mike. From Ergo Prevent. And Anya Thane from IntegraCom. And Harper, it is officially off the rails. So anything you want to add?
Can't put it back on the rails.
No,
at least not for this show.
Oh, so that's the exit music. But Mike let us have an extra minute. He's so nice today. So thank you, Mike, for producing. Dan, we miss you, but we liked your voice leading us in. So for all of our guests and for everybody else, this is your slightly annoying host, Stephen Julian, saying, I've talked long enough. It's time for you to go build some business. And we'll catch you next time on Gwinnett Business Radio.